Bonjour, mon amis. Hello. Hi. It's Foreign Film February. But you already knew that. Why so glum, you might ask me? Well, it's the end of Foreign Film February. Right?
Yes,
I
it is. Mark is unaware of how to do this podcast today, so don't worry about
I've
him.
are we? I don't know.
Therefore, you might notice me a little glum, or maybe even notice me with a different accent than I usually have. That is how Foreign Film February can change you. That is right. It can change you in so many ways. Embrace it. Let it change you. Let it put its claws deep inside of you and take you to another place. A place called Foreign Film February. Music!
It can take you to many accents in one speech.
Why not? Why not?
Cover them
You never
all.
know.
The New World Pictures podcast, where we're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
Wait, which movie are we talking about?
You don't know. And Erica.
I'm pretty sure I watched the right one, but, you know, I have a supervisor. So I have a supervisor who makes sure that I watch the right movies.
And he is a real jerk. He is the biggest jerk. And welcome.
He's not. He's a hunk.
Welcome to the end of Foreign Film February 2, where we discuss the foreign films released by New World Pictures, but we're not going to do this alone. Oh no. We are bringing back one of our special guests. He has been on many of our episodes, usually related to Canadian films. So we thought we'd bring in his foreign expertise from movies like The Dog Who Stopped the War, Zombie Nightmare, and The Great Land of Small. He is the host of VHS. Dirk Marshall, welcome back.
Bonjour. Je m'appelle Dirk Marshall. Thanks for having me back. I was very confused because this isn't Canadian, nor am I. But that's what we're here to talk about.
But you're closer to Canada than Erica or I.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
But Mark is closest.
See, this is all the places that Foreign Film February can take you. Everything that happens in the intro is true.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So
it's
true.
All factual.
Yeah, and this one we are all a good distance away from because in this episode, we're going to talk about a movie that comes to us from the land of China. One of the few that we'll ever get to talk about on this podcast. We're going to talk about 1973's Seven Blows of the Dragon.
The supreme martial arts spectacle, Seven Blows of the Dragon. Starring David Chang, the greatest living master of four martial arts. Seven masters with a thousand ways to kill in Seven Blows of the Dragon.
That's right, 1973's Seven Blows of the Dragon, a.k.a. The Water Margin. If you're Mark, brought to you by...
All right. No, I did watch this one. Okay, we're good. We're good, guys.
Brought to you by... Candle Staff, the staff specifically designed to help you blow out candles. Tired of using an old broomstick to blow out your candles? Well, worry no more with Candle Staff. Made with a unique aerodynamic shape, the shape of a staff, you can take the flame out of your old candles with ease. With Candle Staff, you won't need to blow out a candle, which is good because you don't want to because you use sticks to blow out candles. Candle Staff.
That's what it's called.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they keep goodness. Yeah, they keep it simple. Yeah, we're talking Seven Blows of the Dragon, which surprisingly is not porn, but it does go.
There's flashes. There's flashes. Don't sell it short.
There is a scene that does feel like you have entered that realm, but Mark wouldn't be aware of it because Mark watched the wrong film.
I know. I feel I watched the writer film.
Yeah.
I watched the film. You guys watched a version of this film.
Well, to be fair to Mark, yes. You started with the source material. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We watched a version of the source material that was released by New World Pictures. And this is directed by Cheng Che. He's a director of so many movies, including Five Deadly Venoms, The Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires, The Magnificent Trio, so many others. So many. Dirk, how many Cheng Che movies have you seen? I know you are a big fan of these kinds of films, but I know that typically, I don't know how much you watch Shaw Brothers movies, but...
So back in the day, like, I saw a bunch of these movies, basically the same quality of what you sent me so I could see this. Very mushy, very strange, often missing bits and pieces. So in the recent years, we've had this glut of like, or I mean, a great amount of Shaw Brothers movies re-released.
Yes,
And they look glorious. But yeah, I've seen most of his work. And a lot of the people that are in this, I'm very familiar with. So it was interesting to see this version of a film that I had seen in a very different way. So it's a lot like the last time you had me on, and I was like, I love Angel's Egg, and you were like, this isn't that. And so here we are again.
Yeah.
We wanted you to feel comfortable, Dirk.
Thanks.
So, yeah. You know, we don't want to put you in a weird situation. We want to put you in a, you know,
yeah,
disaster.
we like to make you uncomfortable.
Thanks. Yes. I appreciate that. Not a lot of people are willing to go through
this
for me.
Is porn. In a way.
In a way.
Anything can be. The power of imagination.
Here's where you can watch this movie. It depends on which version you want to see. If you are Mark, you can watch it on, say, Shout TV or Prime, or you can rent it in a lot of different places. It's also, as Dirk was mentioning, the Water Margin itself is on a Blu-ray that Shout has released. I think it's in their Shaw, one of their, they're selling sets of Shaw Brothers movies. I think it's volume 2. I could be wrong.
I checked too. I think it's, I don't know. I do know how to standalone release.
Okay.
I don't know if it's in the third box. I stopped after the second one because I'm like, I didn't watch anything in the second, so I was like, I can't buy 3 and 4. This is what I'm doing. Like,
yeah, right. No, I've already done a little bit of that with the Shawscope from Era Video, which I'm like, have not watched anything in 2 because I still have a whole bunch of Volume 1 to watch, which is a lot of Cheng Cheng movies, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Wait, did they release this with standalone? That's an odd double.
That would be a great double. That would be a good double. You're right. Like, I didn't mean to say that, but yeah. Talk about
like
two
this
great...
and some Charles Durning. That's a good double feature there.
Those are two great flavors that go great together. I mean, that's just this one and Charles Durning fighting off punks from his front porch. Yeah. That's good stuff. It's almost the same movie. I mean, if we're honest, but. We're talking about the Seven Blows of the Dragon, which is the version of The Water Margin that New World released. And the way you can watch that version is if you go on eBay and buy it on VHS like I did. And that is the only way, because Did I try to put this up on our YouTube page? I did. Did it have a copyright claim? It did. So it will. You can't watch it on our YouTube page or any YouTube page. You just have to go out and get yourself your own. Number one, get a VCR. That's where I would start if you don't have one. And then from there, get a VHS to watch. And you can get this. And you can get it from your home library of VHS tapes.
Or mark@newworldpicturespodcast.com. I've got a little back alley link system where you get a hold of me. I can hook you up with a link to watch this movie. It'll just be our little secret. No one will know.
Mark, you didn't even watch it yourself, but I... you watched the wrong version, but I would still encourage people to try. I just want them to know that the results may vary.
I'll send you a link and you tell me how it is. Okay? Tell me what the movie's about. Okay? Cool. Just be between you and I. Cool.
Yeah. Good transition, Mark. Let's talk about what this movie's about. And I'm curious what you think it's about because of the version you watch. But
so, escaping from prison isn't easy. Escaping from jail isn't easy.
Yeah.
And you really can't underestimate the amount of planning that should go into a prison or jail escape. Mm-hmm. And if one of your buddies is like, hey, here's the deal. You and I are just going to get out of this prison cell, and then we're going to fight the whole town. You're going to go back to jail because you're going to lose. And then when another buddy comes in and says, I got a better plan. You and I are going to get out of this cell and fight the whole town. You're going to go back to jail again. Like, put some thought into it. Come up with a better plan. You and your friend against the whole town. It's not going to work.
Yeah, you may need to do several different versions of your plan. You may need to, yeah. It may not be plan A or B. It might be C. And it even might be D.
Right. And doing plan A twice, not going to yield different results.
Yeah, but definition of insanity. Dirk, what is Seven Blows of the Dragon about?
Some people just aren't great at nicknames. Like, I think a good nickname should really kind of describe the person in a way that's helpful.
Sure.
And in this movie, I'm like, who is that guy? And they're like, that's Jade Dragon. And I'm like, oh, because he's green? They're like, no, not at all. And I'm like, does he wear a jacket with a dragon on the back? And they're like, nope. And I'm like, that doesn't help me. I'm going to forget who this is. And you're just the next person, Black Whirlwind, who is not a whirlwind nor black. And he has two axes. The axes are right there. Why is he not guy two axes? I don't know. So I'm good at nicknames. So they should have employed me, really. But
they should have. Erica, what is this movie about?
Oh, I didn't understand the movie at all, Ryan. But you know what?
No.
It was obvious to me is that in watching the copy that we watched, I had to tell Ryan that that's how my vision looks all the time, especially without my glasses. Mm-hmm. So I was like, man, it must be humbling for you to watch this. Those of you who don't need spectacles to improve your vision to be like, whoa, it's blurry. It's hard to see. Like, yeah, welcome to my world all the time. All the movies, unless these guys are on, okay? So, yeah, don't know. What's this movie about? I don't know. Friendship, blowing out candles, fighting, getting a young person to do a job that might be hard for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, hooking up, all those things.
The dangers of hooking up, let's say, too. For me, I thought this movie was about sometimes it's really difficult to get somebody you know to join your gang. And you go through a lot to try to get them into your gang. And it's a lot. Yeah. It's a chore. But if they're cool enough, it's worth it.
Are they cool enough, though? Question mark. Ooh, I know we're not at final questions, but was it worth it? Seven Blows? I don't know. Think about it. Also, you guys can just call me Seven Blows for the rest of the episode.
I would really prefer to not do that.
Yeah, let's not. Let's not do that.
You're good at nicknames.
You got it.
But, I mean, it is a great name for a porn. Anyway, let's move on to the Letterboxd synopsis. And the Letterboxd synopsis will be familiar to Mark, because this is really the Letterboxd synopsis for Water Margin, because they don't really... It's kind of one of the same, and definitely not the same. But here we go. The corruption in the Song Dynasty of 11th century China is so rampant that it inspires a band of Oriental Robin Hoods.
No.
I'm reading this, folks. I'm reading this.
Letterboxd is racist.
That person's bad at nicknames.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whoever wrote this, they had to be like, we're going to do a forced retirement. This is just, we can't, like, we are a younger company. We need to move on. I'm so sorry. The Honorable 108. Mountain bandits who nevertheless live by a scrupulous code of conduct, the Honorable 108 pledged to end the repression of the brutal overlords.
First of all, I don't remember that ever being mentioned as their name.
Well, you watched the wrong version, Mark.
Oh. So I also don't remember there being corruption per se.
You're right.
Did I watch the right movie?
You did and you didn't. And you're gonna learn though very quickly. I'll tell you that, because as we mentioned, this is Corman's cut of it. And not only did Corman cut this down, but he also got a dub made with the help of Chinese actress Lisa Liu, who appeared in Crazy Rich Asians and New World Saint Jack. And had been in the Shaw Brothers movie, The 14 Amazons. As Corman said in his autobiography, he said, I required a Chinese dynasty period film with martial arts action sequences from the Shaw Brothers for very little money. It was called The Water Warriors or something like that. Nope, it wasn't, Roger. A Chinese actress friend of mine, Lisa Liu, who had worked with the Shaws in Hong Kong, helped with the English translation and looping. We recut it and tightened it way down to emphasize the action because it was long and talky.
Oh my god.
Bit of a longy.
Yep, long and talky. Besides acting, Liu would also, during the year, she would translate Peking operas into English. With the exception of the music, she said, as she told the Daily Herald in 1973, the trouble in doing so is translating a monosyllabic language to a multisyllabic one. And I think she had the same trouble here, because the dub for this is very far from perfect in its sync. It is definitely one of those prototypical where somebody's mouth keeps moving and then they say something, like that old joke where they were made. That's basically this, the am I wrong? That's the dub in this movie.
It seems pretty spot on in the one I watched.
Yeah.
Oh, look at me. I watched a different movie that was perfect and crystal clear and the dub synced up. You know what? This is a movie I might quit the podcast over. If Mark can watch whatever he wants, then I can watch whatever I want for the next one. All right?
Eric is just going to watch Mean Girls, no matter what we have coming up next.
Oh my god, I might. That's
so this is my first blow of this episode.
Yeah.
Right?
That is one of seven blows I will dish out over the course of this episode.
Is this like Cat Lives, where we have just seven? So Mark's down to six?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Down to six.
Yep. 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 Yeah. You don't want to run out. That's what I'm saying. Otherwise, you have to stop. You have to leave the podcast. That actually might be a gift. Anyway, let's soldier on, because Mark needs to hear what we're talking about in terms of this dub, the voiceover, because she does add an opening narration, which is meant to help us understand the plot. But does it?
Here in the mountains of Liang Shan Po, the Honorable 108 gathered and became outlaws. Carrying out the mandate of heaven.
Okay, so yeah, so we're not going to listen to that whole thing, because that would be horrible. The sound is bad. The sound is, because not only is there narration, but they also just decided to bury it behind the sounds of horses and drums. And of course, then we have a VHS tape that's many years old and it doesn't have great sound, no matter how much you try to fix the tracking. Not great. But I do have this whole thing written down, so we'll know what's going on. Here's the narration. It says, believing they were carrying out the mandate of heaven, they formed a highly disciplined unit to right wrongs and throw off shackles of the oppressor. They had their own code and rigid principles of behavior, which is the same thing, but that's fine. And though they lived beyond the law, they were greatly admired by the common people. For they alone had the courage and strength to rebel against corrupt officials. This story is taken from the Chinese classic All Men Are Brothers and concerns the revenge of the 108 for the brutal and unjust murder of their leader, Zhao Pai. That's what it sounds like in the narration, Zhao Pai. I don't think that's the name of the character, but that's what it sounds like in the narration. I rewound it many times. Anyway, called the Heavenly King. It sounds like Pai. I think it's Chow Gai, but they say Pai. Someone tell me I'm wrong.
I can't, because my movie started with an opening scroll as yes. They were on ships.
Which would have been very helpful.
Which was very helpful. And also shocking that this movie only encompasses 4 chapters of the entire Water Margin book. Or books.
Well, All Men Are Brothers. The All Men Are Brothers books, yeah.
Was like, oh man, there's a lot to unpack here. Because this already was a hair over 2 hours. And we've only covered 4 chapters?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is a book that they have used to make, the Shaw Brothers used to make like 5 other movies before this.
Okay.
Dirk, you're nodding, yes?
I could not stand this opening narration part to this film because it felt like a bad film you'd watch in school where you'd be like, how did they make this boring? Like, it's just because I've seen the version that Mark's seen. I haven't seen it in a long time, but it's a highly regarded film. And so when you were telling me about this, I was like, oh no, what'd they do to this thing? And just made it almost complete nonsense. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. But this opening narration, I was like, I can't even follow this. I'm in real trouble. But then since Corman removed like a third of the movie, I was like, oh, I guess I'm not supposed to really know what's happening. So
it's he definitely edited this thing into oblivion where you cannot follow it. And I only know I had to watch it like 3 times in order to do notes on it. It is rough stuff, but
I have a question.
Yes, as Mark said, the Water Margins based on only chapters 64 to 68 of the original text. So I guess this version...
60 to 64.
Oh, is it? 60 to 64? Okay. So I guess that means that this is the Cliff's Notes version of that. Or to update it to modern times, this is the AI summary of those chapters. After the narration, we go to a celebration with everyone drinking and chomping on chicken and...
Definitely not going to get an A from the health department in front of that restaurant. Not at all.
And a couple of men mentioning their concern for the Heavenly King as he travels to the capital. Why is he traveling there? We don't know. In fact, to be honest, I don't think we know in either version, because I also watched the Water Margin after.
That was in chapter 59, but they didn't cover that chapter.
Yeah, it was right before this one. You got to read the whole book. I mean, you don't have to read The Hobbit to then get into Lord of the Rings, but, like, it helps. It helps. So no one else knows?
Yeah, there's a lot of bare hands eating. There's a lot of letting the wine get all over your beard. Mm-hmm. It's
less so in our version, because they cut real quick from everything. But in the Water Margin, there's a lot. It's a lot longer. Plus, they introduce every single character, which... They use different names, though, in this one. They use more of their, like, nicknames, as Dirk was sort of mentioning. They're not using their actual names. In the Water Margin, they use their actual names, and it's very hard to remember all of the names. But I have to imagine that this is well-regarded text. So probably, if you live in China, you know a lot of these people. You've heard these people through lots of folklore and stuff, so mm-hmm. it's probably not as daunting.
In the version that you watched, do they then continue to introduce new characters for about the first hour and a half and drop credits in every
time?
They
don't introduce any characters, which honestly would be helpful if they had, but they do none of that.
Counterpoint, the water margin introduces characters, like new characters that you're supposed to pay attention to.
No, a guy that says like one line and disappears.
This is blow number two. You don't get to add a point counterpoint. This is two. This is number two.
Yeah, you have to have seen both to have a counterpoint.
Yeah. So this would just be point, because you don't have a counterpoint. That is two blows, Mark. That is two out of seven.
Okay. Oh, boy. My time is limited here.
We are early on in this episode, Mark. Watch it. We don't know why he's traveling. Why did he also bring so few of his guys? I don't know. We don't know. And, of course, he's attacked instantly. And probably my favorite part of that scene, and this happens in either version, but is the fact that they are alerted to the Heavenly King and his men coming up towards their castle. And as soon as we cut back to Heavenly King, they are instantly upon them, which I'm like, I mean, how good were they able to see? How far away do they clock them? Like, that is amazing.
In the version we watched, is that what you're talking about?
In both. Really, in both.
Oh, really? And this one, it was crazy because it was like literally steps. Like somebody was like, he went that way, and then they just stepped next to them and they're like, hey. And he's, I'm like, what, that's the whole chase?
They're like right there.
This is one blow against Ryan, because I didn't know we were going to talk about two movies in this episode. Because if so, then I would have just watched a second movie. Who cares? And I'd be ready to talk about it. So that is two blows, Ryan. One blow, Mark. Dirk.
Erica,
zero blows. We did.
I have two. I have two blows. I'm going to start taking notes.
Keep track.
So two blows,
Erica,
we did
recently rewatch Independence Day, so you're welcome to just throw in anything from that you want that you think is relatable. I mean, they're both movies with giant battles in them.
If we're all picking movies, I watched Tammy and the T-Rex recently, so if you maybe just throw that into the mix.
Good. Yes! Good stuff.
Thanks for outing my rewatch of Independence Day, Ryan. Jeez.
Uh-oh. Is that another blow against me, I guess?
Jesus. Yeah, that's two blows.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. You and Mark are tied now.
You already have two blows. Is that a third blow, then?
No, that's two. You have two. I have one. Now I have two.
Okay.
Now we both have
Mark, you think I can't count? That's a third blow.
Damn it. The Heavenly King and his guys, of course, they get attacked. All his guys die. He gets got an arrow in him, and he rides off. He's followed by Golden Spear. He's the guy who shot him. He's nearly killed until a bunch of his men show up to save him. They bring Heavenly King back to their camp, where he tells them to kill Golden Spear to avenge him. Which is like, yeah, of course we are, dude. Like, yeah. But also, where were you going? Why did you leave? Where were you heading? Why did you bring so few guys? You knew you were going to get attacked. This is dumb. Anyway.
He's just going on a bear run.
Right.
Just need to bring a bunch of people for that.
Just five good dudes.
Just need someone to help carry some beer.
If I brought everybody, a lot of you guys, I know a lot of you guys would drink it before we even got back. So, frankly.
Right.
And honestly, not a terrible idea, because on horseback, all those beers are going to explode as soon as you try to open them. So...
Ryan has a lot of experience on horseback.
On horseback with beers.
Trust him on this. Yeah. Trust
Ryan,
him on this.
Ryan was known as Trail Beers Ryan when he was growing up, because he loves
it's a good, name.
Good horseback ride. Oh my God. Cracking some trail beers.
Nothing like
signing those yearbooks before summer. People were like, stay cool, have a good summer. And people were like, hey, Ryan, see you on horseback on the trail.
Yep. See you on the trail. You got it. Thanks for being such
happy
a good
trails.
Trail guide.
Sorry,
happy
they
trails.
Wrote happy
yeah,
trails.
Happy trails. You bet.
Happy trails.
And it wasn't like silly. It was like, it was legit. It was a legit thing to say to me.
Yeah. It was just factual.
So they're like, okay, we're going to avenge you. But in order to do that, they have to like pull out his heart, which is like, whoa, hold on. Now you're telling us how we get to do it? I mean, let us just avenge you. Why don't you just let it... Just let us avenge you. Don't tell us how we get to avenge you. Like, that's a lot, dude. Just let us do it. And then they're like, once he's dead, they're like, hey, how good of a fighter is Golden Spear? Should we be worried? Are we going to get beat up? I was like, you've already agreed to pull out his heart, so I don't know. Are we tracking so far? This was so hard to put these notes together.
Yeah. Shortly thereafter, Golden Spear, that was not his name in the version I watched.
No, none of these names. That
people are going to come after him, and it's sewn onto two flags, which made me think there obviously wasn't a lot of urgency to get him this message, because they took arts and crafts time to put together these messages for him. They were obviously going to take a long time to get around to this. I'm not really sure about the timeline.
When Vivica A. Fox drove that big truck, and she drove it back to, like, what was the base.
Right.
And, like, we know the base has been destroyed, but, like, she doesn't know it yet. Right. And she drives all the way up to see that it's destroyed. Like, shouldn't she have seen the smoke before that, like, earlier?
No.
That was my question.
Whoa. Never thought about that before.
This movie also has a smoke signal, but we're far from it. Okay, so if you've been following along so far, great job. We're 12 minutes in, and damn, I don't know what's happening.
No.
I am so lost. I watched this so many times, and I was like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going on.
At one point, I remember you were like, Erica, do you know what's happening in this? And I was like, no.
No, you said, I guess. Yeah, I guess.
No, and Ryan, I said, no. You don't remember. Welcome to Earth, Ryan. Welcome to Earth.
So, have we even got to the part that is that the candle staff guy is training, and we find that his
That's
wife
Master Lou.
Is having an affair.
Yep.
The Master
yep.
Lou. Yes.
We're right there.
Yeah,
he's right too busy with his candle staff to go to bed with his wife. So she takes her revenge.
This is the first time I understood something that was happening in the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, he's on a different sleep schedule than his wife. That's always bad. You got to sync those things. And then he was busy putting all the lights out inefficiently. And then she was sleeping with this dude. And I was like, okay, now I know what this movie is going to be about. And then I was wrong for a lot of it.
Sleep schedules, though, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
It's pretty impossible to sync your sleep schedule to Erica. She is ready to go to bed at all times. It's very difficult.
Oh my God, how sexy, Ryan. Stop it. Jeez, you said this wasn't a porn. Stop it.
Then again, I can't blame him for being fire safe. You know, you got to put the candles out.
Well, you got to do it before you go to bed. Course, I mean, that would be crazy. He's like, I got to put all these candles. We're just going to go to bed.
Dude.
Yeah.
Then his whole training room would burn to the ground.
For all we know, she lit all the candles. He's doing her a favor, and she can't wait for him and candle staff to get through the menagerie of candles that
it's
are
so many candles.
A lot of nights, my wife's like, "I'm going to bed," and I'm like, "Well, now I have to put all these candles out that you lit and left around the house. Where's a stick?"
Typical wife behavior.
So. She does also enjoy some candlelight, but she enjoys it with another guy who is more prominently his like assistant in the water margin, but you barely know who he is in this. But she shacks up with him, and then we get a love scene. And Mark, you never saw this. This is one that Corman specifically asked to be shot for the movie. So we get Erica.
We get buns.
Yes. And we also.
I'm out in the open, so I have to whisper it. There's children and young dogs present here, so there's a titty count.
That's right. This is what Corman buys the rights to and then writes them, hey, do you mind shooting just a little bit extra? Just some naked bodies that I can cut into this movie just to make it look. And it was fascinating to watch the water margin because there is actually so much there, and what they cut in was just two bodies. Could be anybody. We have no idea if it was the actual actors. Probably not. It was just who's willing to not be shown from the shoulders down.
With, like, scarves and stuff blowing around. Like, it's like you've seen in a million, like, DTV of these movies where it's, like, during the opening credits to a film where it's, like, not even the actors you normally would see in the rest of the movie. It's like, it's very strange.
But they're looking to get Master Lu, but they're not looking to just bring Master Lu into their group. They're also wanting to bring in his bodyguard, what he's called his bodyguard in this movie. In the water margin, he's called his sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
Talking the young dragon. Let's see what we can suss out from clip two.
You name it, and he's an expert. He can defeat Golden Spear.
Maybe not so easily. He's a great warrior, don't you think?
They're about the same. But, Master Lu has a bodyguard named Young Dragon. He's a master of martial arts. With his help, we'll succeed. Young Dragon is a man of many talents, especially with women.
Yeah. Oh, phew, he's a ladies' man. Oof. That's going to help with the stuff we have to revenge with. That's going to be a big factor. We got Golden Spear down now. He better look out. We're bringing in a ladies' man.
Point, no counterpoint. Totally.
Point. Just a point.
Totally, this movie seems different than the one I watched. The overdubbing is almost a little lighthearted and fun.
Mm.
And outside of Black Whirlwind, there isn't a lot of comedic elements in the water mark.
No, there isn't. And well, really,
it was great having you on this episode, Mark. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye. Bye, Mark. Was that staying on? Oh, bless his heart. Oh, I'm staying on.
He's still going to stick it out.
So is my interview over? I'll just email my resume to you. Thank you, everyone.
He's going to just email it to everyone. So, by the way, Young Dragon is played by David Chang, one of the Shaw Brothers' most frequent actors. He'd worked with director Cheng Che in so many movies. Many of them very successful films for Shaw Brothers, particularly in that early 70s period. They did a lot of good work together, as well as actor T. Ling, including The Return of the One-Armed Swordsman, The Deadly Duo, many more. But no one does anything for free, so Clever Star and Black Whirlwind head off to the north, I'm presuming to raise money. I don't know where they're going. Why is everybody going anywhere? I don't know. Black Whirlwind, a guy who looks like he is on the edge at all times and should not be trusted with an undercover mission. But anyway, he's like, let's pull you in. He's like, I am about ready to destroy somebody. They're like, cool, just come with me. Don't say anything. Keep it on the down low. Like, he can't do, and of course he can't do it. And that doesn't feel like it's his fault.
I feel like they had an army of people who all looked more or less similar. And then there's just Black Dragon and they're like, you'll go undercover.
That you were like, this guy could walk through any marketplace and you wouldn't even notice him. But then there's Black Dragon, who's very distinct. Sorry, Black Whirlwind, who's very distinct and is also angry at everybody and everything. He is.
Yeah. If the A team was like, which one of us should go undercover? And everyone was like, Mr. T. Put a chef coat on him. No one will know who he is. Like,
right.
He still has all the necklaces. Obviously. <Yeah. laughs> I felt like he just needed it. Like, they all knew he just needed that mission.
He did.
They were like, you know what? He's going to blow it, but just let him have this.
He's got to do something.
He needs this.
He blows it right away, though. Like, the minute they walk in to meet Master Lu, he blows it.
You know?
What?
It's all your fault. You broke your promise. You were supposed to be dumb, not stupid.
I'm very sorry.
You're forgiven. I think that they will soon let us leave.
Yeah, so they had gone in. He blew it. They knew immediately that he was Black Whirlwind. They put him in their jail cell because they knew they were the bandits. And I really clipped that because I thought it was hilarious that he said you were supposed to be dumb, not stupid, which I thought there is. I know that's not what he means, but I know there is a line between being dumb and stupid. You know what I mean?
Oh my God, Ryan, are we renewing our vows right now? Oh my God. This is what he said to me, everybody.
That's right.
We're getting
married, I know. I've said this before.
There's a line. And Erica straddles it.
Yeah, I mean, Going out with me? Kind of dumb. Marrying me? Stupid.
Stupid. Exactly. Straddling it.
Yeah. I just thought that was hilarious. Then I love how he's like, you really, you messed this up. I'm sorry. You're forgiven. It's like, they're just so like, it's bad, whatever. And then he's like, we'll get out of here. And what's hilarious is that he will. Now, in the water margin, it actually makes sense that they would think they're going to get out because there was a lot more preamble to this moment. But in this version, they are just immediately caught, thrown in jail. And there's, I don't know why he thinks he's going to get out. But then they do. I'm like, wow, well done.
At one point in this movie, we see that a sketch artist has drawn the two people who have escaped from jail. Now, maybe not in the version that you saw, but in the version
they do.
I did.
They do quickly put up a poster, yeah.
So they have really nice sketch artists, but that talent is completely wasted because you can sneak into a town, a jail, a palace, a courtyard simply by putting on a wicker hat and saying that you're here to deliver food. There's the ability to disguise yourself with almost nothing. Is pretty amazing in this movie.
That was a real flex by Young Dragon. Because he, you know, Black Whirlwind cannot go undercover, and he went undercover with nothing. With a hat. He was like,
yeah.
And they're like, bought it. They're like, sure. Yeah, you bet. Sounds good. Come on in.
There also feels like there's no stakes to anything. Like, they're just like, oh, we're going to get captured. Oh, we're going to get put to death. Oh, we're free. Like, it's just all, until the very end of the film, I was like, nothing matters. Nothing matters at all. Like, why?
It's so true. And honestly, I don't know if the regular water margin version honestly changes that all that much. Mm. A little, but not all that much.
At one point, is it after the second jailbreak? They ask, he's going to be sent to a work camp, and he's got to walk 3,000 miles to this labor camp, and that's going to be his punishment, in lieu of killing him.
They don't, I think, mention a labor camp. They just beat him with sticks and then put that wooden board on him, and then they just start walking him away, and you're not as sure why. But you haven't been sure why anyone's been going anywhere at any point. So it doesn't feel weird in that. It has all felt weird until this point. So it's not like this is the weird moment where you're like, wait a minute. They're not giving us any context for this walk.
Well, in the version that I watched, it is explicit that he's being sent to a labor camp.
Sure.
That he has to walk 3,000 miles to. But also the two guards have to walk 3,000.
Yes.
Actually, they have to walk 6,000 miles.
Because they got to walk back.
They have to get back.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Crunching the miles. Mile crunch.
How? It's been a while since we had a good crunch.
Were they already on the to-be-let-go list? And they thought, listen, we're just going to send them on this 6,000-mile journey. And by the time they get back, we'll be like, hey, listen, we couldn't get a hold of you, but there has been a reorg.
Mm-hmm.
And
unfortunately... I thought you said to be go list. I thought you meant like to be go list. Like it's about to leave to be.
No.
Which certainly explains,
let go list.
It explains this movie. It's like, do you want to see the water margin? I do, but I know it's leaving Tubi in 2 days. Like, I have a version that will get some of the finer points. It's called Seven Blows of the Dragon, and it's kind of the water margin in most respects, but not really all of it. It's not on Tubi, by the way, right now. Don't look for it on Tubi. It's not there. Of a film. Who knows what?
I don't think anyone's going to email you after hearing just the clip qualities that Ryan has grabbed. 79 minutes of that. It is brutal.
This is an annoying.
Of Liangshan Gong, oh, it's so bad.
Good to me. So
108 gathered.
That is where, back in the day, our dad would have had us just down on
return
that VCR, adjusting the tracking.
Oh, yeah.
Just keep adjusting the tracking. Damn it. adjust that tracking again. We would just have to sit there and keep moving that thing back and forth, hoping to find that sweet spot.
Mm-hmm. I had made a rip of this, and then the one that you were playing, and then I went and said, I can do better than this. I have to. And there's no, I'm going up and down the tracking, up and down with the remote. Nothing changed it. It's just on the tape.
The clip you're playing of narration sounds like, do you know what a zerbit is? Like when somebody blows on your skin and makes that horrible sound.
Like a raspberry. It sounds like
just giving the narrator a raspberry. If you just play the clip for 1 second. Yeah.
Here in the mountains of Yangshan Tong, the Honorable 108 guests.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Yeah, and you know what? That's a really good point by everybody. So we should get to another clip. Here we go. Clever Star comes up with a big plan for all of them to get involved. Here's the clip. We're going to just round up this movie. Here we go.
Leopard, Red Snake, come here. Each of you take 50 men. Bring fresh horses. Hide along the path of Flying Tiger Valley. Watch for the smoke that is coming from the city. Then, charge down to the eastern gate.
Right.
Valiant Knight and Young Dragon go to the city. Set up the fireworks at night. Make smoke, but no fire.
Yes, sir.
Tigress and Dwarf Tiger will enter the city as a married couple. Priest Hua and Magic Sword will go together. Learned One, Silver Arrow, and Thunderbolt will go as a group. Tin Cloud will go with Sweetwater.
Clever Star, what am I supposed to do? Play with myself?
Oh, you'll be my dumb acolyte as usual.
And what he means is that you're using the terrible phrase of dumb, meaning like you're mute, but that's an impossibility. We know the Black Whirlwind can't stay quiet.
But it's dumb. Also, that guy's accent is a mix of British, shitty Native American from old westerns, a little of that like East Coast 1920s radio voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like ridiculously awful Asian accent.
Stereotype.
Like what is that accent? Like it is an amalgamation of bad accents all wrapped up into one.
There's a lot of the voices in here, the dub voices are doing like an Asian affectation and you're like, "What?" It's like, oh no, why?
we wouldn't accept
an Asian person speaking with just a regular American sounding voice. Like that would just throw us all off. It's, oh boy. Anyway, what they're trying to do there is set up their final plan to get Master Lu out of jail. Master Lu has got himself out of jail, back in jail, back in jail, out of jail, back in jail. We're not in final questions, but does Master Lu want to get caught? That's what I'm starting to wonder at this point.
What was he training for? He trained all this training for, and he didn't show anything really till the end.
None. He does none of it. Till it's like, oh, I have to get really beat up and badly hurt and then spend time in jail. And then I'm ready. I'm honed. And my senses can really come out and I can do my best fighting.
But then in the end, he isn't even fucking good at fighting. Like he has to have someone else come in and finish the job because
he doesn't
want to
kill him. He doesn't want to kill Golden Spear in the end because that's the guy he trained. And he doesn't want to do it.
I think he was just too much time in prison, not enough time hitting the gym, getting those gains. And he was a little gassed. Needed to have someone tap in, help him out there.
He'd spend so much time in jail. That's his life now. That's what he knows. He just knows jail. He doesn't know the outside anymore.
Also, in the end, and Eric can correct me if I'm wrong, but Will Smith punches the alien, and it's pretty cool.
It's not the end, but it's towards the end.
Okay, yeah. I only saw it.
Actually, in the end, it's Randy Quaid that flies his plane into the ship.
Yeah.
And he really takes care of things.
Wow.
Saves the president, essentially saves everyone on the ground.
Wow.
Yeah, the whole planet, really. Though, honestly, that would go to Randy Quaid, who saved everybody, but... Mm.
Not in the version I saw. The Seven Blows of Randy Quaid is what I watch. That's totally
that one was a porn.
Yeah. Equally disturbing.
And that sound on that videotape is pristine because it did not get rented. Not a frequent rental.
No.
The clip that we played 10 minutes ago was about, I think, them trying to come up with a plan on how to get Master Lu again out of jail. And what I thought was hilarious is that he would just, like, pair everybody up. He had, like, a plan for two people. Go yeah. get 50 men, you guys, on your horses. Come on back. Wait for the smoke. Cool. Now, you two head into town. You two head into town. You two head into town. And I thought, oh, that's hilarious. And then watching The Water Margin, that's exactly what he does in that. The only difference is in The Water Margin, you have more of a vague idea of who everyone is. And in this part of Seven Blows of the Dragon, you're catching up with, like, who, sort of. You're like, oh, that guy has a name? I've never heard these names. Also, he forgot to mention in this big plan that he had was he did forget to say, wait until I pull the pigeon out of my pocket, which I'm going to have, and then light the fuse, and then we kill everyone and take Master Lu. But it was way more fun to just let it, like, play out. You know what I mean? Don't tell him about the pigeon. Just let that be, like, a fun improv moment in the whole thing.
Do people want more birds in improv? Because if so...
Yes.
Let me hear it. Let's hear it.
Yes.
I can help that. I can introduce that.
Can I get a suggestion of anything at all and nothing related to these two birds on my shoulders?
Put one in your pocket. Pocket pigeon.
He had a pigeon in his pocket the entire time he's telling that plan. And then he's just like, whoop, pigeon. Like, he didn't get that. He didn't leave the plan area and then go grab a pigeon and then stuff it in his pocket. I don't know.
Which means he's been training that pigeon. Because otherwise that pigeon would be going crazy in his pocket. And the whole time...
all the flapping going on in his pocket. They're like, you all right? Like, yeah. No. It sounds like you have a bird in your pocket.
No.
Just wait for my signal, guys. You didn't say what it was. Like, yeah. You'll know.
Just imagine you walking around, that pigeon just flapping.
Yes.
Just
trying to get out of that pocket so bad.
Hiding it with a cough. Excuse me. It's drawing blood.
Why are your hands all scratched up? No, just, I don't know, something weird. Probably bushes or something, I don't know.
Ran through some nettles on the way here. You know, no big deal.
Yeah, you know me and nettles. I just can't avoid them.
That and trail beers. Yeah, that's trail. What I'm into.
Oh, man. You know what? I barely even feel those nettles with those trail beers.
There's not a pigeon in my pocket. Just my loins are acting up down here. They're just very active, the loins.
Oh, God. Our final confrontation begins not in the city, however, because they do get out Master Lu. No surprise. But then it's saved for nearby, out on the road, on the trail, if you will, everyone. When Golden Spear and his men surround the 108, I have to think they're the actual 108 because we have our main characters, and then two of them were supposed to bring 50 men each. So I'm like, well, just doing some rough math, but I think we've hit our quota. I think this is all of us. I think we brought all of us. Who then they reveal that they have Master Lu, who then... reveals this.
My wife and Stuart conspired against me. The governor and his minister had planned to take my life. And the Mountain Brothers saved me.
And that is a surprise to anyone who's been watching this movie.
Yeah.
You knew that his wife was cheating on him. That you knew, because that we really revealed all in that moment. However, the governor... they conspired against him?
News to me. News to me. Just getting this at the 0 hour of this movie. Getting some pretty good chunk of information that we probably should have gotten earlier. Because then we have a big all-out brawl until the end. And I just want to highlight a couple moments here. Please throw in any moments that you wanted to highlight. When Golden Spear first warns one of his men, he's walking towards him. He goes, "Hey, these pricks are deadly." That made me cackle. That's so funny. Also, one of the 108 gets stabbed.
Talking about the nettles again.
Yeah. One of the 108 towards the end, he gets stabbed in both sides. But he's like...
I just got that.
He's like... But he gets stabbed in both sides, and he's like, "It's cool. I won't die. I'll just pull him out, and I'll just wrap my shirt around it. I'm good." And I'm like, the only thing that's told me that somebody would die from that is everyone who's died from that in the rest of this movie. Who've died from less. But he's like, "No, I'm good. Trust me, I'm good." I'm like, you shouldn't be. Then Master Lu fights Golden Spear, but he doesn't want to kill him. So in goes Young Dragon. who has done nothing during this battle. It's a little clear in the water margin that, like, once Master Lu and Golden Spear, called different things in the water margin, when they start to have their final confrontation, Young Dragon sort of backs everyone up and sort of like, okay, let's give him space. It may be in this version, but I was just like, what is he? Remember the very beginning, they were like, "Hey, we're going to get this guy in here too, and they will kill off Golden Spear." And for most of this final battle, Young Dragon has been near the horses, just keeping the horses safe, making sure they have these horses to ride off on. I'm like, he is one of your best warriors, and you're just like, hey, stay on the sidelines, would you? We're going to save you. We're going to save you for the tail end. Anyway, he just does nothing. Finally, Young Dragon, he encourages him to kill Golden Spear, but he hesitates, so Black Whirlwind goes in with his axe, because of course he's so angry. He's been wanting to, he's so mad. But is it enough? No. Final amazing moment of this end battle. Golden Spear takes his own life by doing a flip onto the ground.
Incredible.
And then he dies. He's like, let me do an incredible little bit of acrobatics, and now I'm dead. How that contributed to his death, I don't know, but amazing. Erica, I think it's that time.
Oh, boy. It's time for things we loved, things we hated.
That's right. We're going to talk about the things we loved, things we hated about Seven Blows of the Dragon / The Water Margin. Mark, what did you love?
I loved that the members of the Imperial Court wore hats that I can only describe as 14th century Disneyland Goofy hats.
Mm-hmm.
And we were supposed to take them seriously. I loved that. I thought that was aggressive. And I appreciated their commitment to keeping those hats going.
Dirk, what did you love?
The death flip. That was my favorite part of the whole movie.
It's hard to beat.
I was like, I understand what's happening completely, except no, I don't.
Erica, what did you love?
I love the sound effect. It just killed me every time. It was just so funny. Loved it.
I love the flip too and enjoyed the fights, but I hated being confused. What did you guys hate, Mark?
Well, I at first I hated how long the movie was, but now I hated that I had an option to watch a shorter version.
Yeah.
That would have saved me a lot of time. And by all accounts, based upon everything we've discussed in this episode, I don't believe that I would have been any more or less confused as to what was happening in the movie. Mm-hmm. So, what I hated is that I watched the wrong movie.
Dirk, what did you hate? Could you have hated anything?
Well, I hated that I don't know, and I mean, I didn't know, and I don't know if I'm dumb or stupid. And this movie made me feel like both. Mm-hmm. But that's what I hate ultimately.
You're either one or the other, but you can't be both.
Not smart enough to do two things at once, though. No.
Erica, what did you hate?
I think I hated that the first lady died because it's like, I mean, internal bleeding. Like, can you really not stop internal bleeding? Because it just felt like she should have been saved. And having her team up with Vivica A. Fox in the first place is random, sure, but then to rip her away mm-hmm. from us and to mm-hmm. have her die, mm-hmm. it doesn't make any sense. Also, when the president is flying up into the air, like, who's watching his daughter? Just the staff? Was that in the job description that, you know, when I decide I'm no longer the president, I'm now a fighter, I'm a combat pilot, you just watch my daughter? Because I'm a single dad now? I don't know. All that. Just really highly upsetting. Oh, I'm sorry. Are we talking about Seven Blows or...
You were talking about Independence Day, but you were bringing up a good point because when the doctor's like, there's internal bleeding, we can't do anything. I'm like, you can't? Like,
no, the blood's in the inner still. They can only help.
Like, that's where the blood is. Like, we can't stop her bleeding from inside where there's blood. I'm like, I feel like that. What they're like, so she's internally bleeding. Yep. And we just can't stop it. And I was like, that's not great. It sounds like the writer's going, I don't know. Just bleeding? I don't know what to do. That's it. I guess I don't know.
It's like the writer went to a bad doctor, and the doctor was like, look, you know how there's plumbers that handle what's in the wall and what's out of the wall? Like, I'm more of an outside-the-body doctor, and, like, so if it's internal bleeding, like, your guess is good.
I don't know. That's not my thing. I don't go in. I stay out.
I haven't seen Independence Day in a long time, but before she dies, does she do an incredible flip?
Oh, man. If only.
Sadly,
if
no.
If only. Oh.
Spoiler
alert. You know Mary McDonald can do it, too. She can do anything.
100%.
You know she can do it. The thing I hated, actually, is that I wish Corman had released more Shaw Brothers movies. It actually feels like a missed opportunity that he didn't, because he even says he got this for cheap. I mean, he got this for not much. He trimmed it down to next to nothing, added some boobs, and he was like, cool. And he didn't do more? Like, I don't understand. Like, why didn't you do more of these? It's actually kind of crazy that you didn't.
Well, it's not good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Sure. That's what I'm saying. It would be cool if we had others to discuss. This is the only one we get to discuss. And it was like, there are some great Shaw Brothers movies, but also this one, you know?
This is the second movie that you've had me on where he took something that was good and kind of made it less good. But I want to talk about a better one. So can we do Shogun Assassin, or is that not New World?
It is New World.
You can watch whatever you want. Dirk is totally fine.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Next time you come on, just watch whatever, right, Mark?
It's fun that we're like repeating mistakes we did years ago, as if all the years of doing this podcast doesn't matter. We still can't watch the right movie or ask anyone, where is the movie I should watch?
One time I watched the wrong movie, completely the wrong movie. This one at least is, it's the same, it's of just a different version of the same movie.
Sure.
I didn't get it completely wrong.
Yeah.
I just regret that I didn't err on the side of the shorter version. But upside, the audio quality was great.
that you did avoid having to try to tune out the constant
raspberries.
Constant. Which I know drove Dirk crazy. I'm so sorry.
A lot of people, when I was a kid, they bullied me with raspberries, so it was traumatizing, but, you know, brought a lot of pain back.
Oh, your man. Wife found you just like crying in a ball in the corner of the room. Like, what are you doing? What were you watching? Seven Blows of the Dragon. Oh, God. All right. Well, let's go to our favorite scene. Mark, what was your favorite scene? And was it in Seven Blows of the Dragon? Let's find out.
I have favorite scenes. Any scene with Black Whirlwind. Because
sure. The best.
It just, everyone's known that person. The person that just gets way too into stuff. And just,
yeah,
you know, you say, hey, I think we're going to go do this weekend. And they just won't stop bringing it up. They're just chomping at the bit to do the thing. And you know they're going to go just way over the top and kind of ruin it because they're just too into it. But if you were saying, Ryan, you're disappointed that Roger Corman didn't buy more of these movies and release them. And I don't disagree with you. But I'm disappointed that the Shaw Brothers didn't do a spinoff of just Black Whirlwind, like The Adventures of Black Whirlwind.
Yeah.
I would be down for that. So
his heart was in the right place. He just, if only he could put his heart with decent intent and like listening to instructions, you know.
Yeah. Always a wild card. Loved it.
Always the wild card. Derek, what was your favorite scene?
I like the scene where the guy's tied to the tree and the two guards that have walked him there, one of them is like, okay, you go keep watch now that we're miles away from anybody alive, and I'll kill him alone. And I was like, perfect. And then he hears the sound of someone dying, and then he gets excited and runs back up the hill. That whole sequence, I was like, this makes perfect sense. I love this.
He's at a bush, I don't know, picking a berry or something, and then he hears a noise, he's like, ooh-hoo! Oh, and he runs back. For what did you think was happening? Like, that's an incredible sequence.
Amazing.
So right. Erica, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene is probably, you know, everybody's favorite scene. It's, you know, when Will Smith, when that, you know, spaceship opens, and it's the Welcome to Earth punch.
Yeah.
It's just so great. It's, and then it's followed, you know, right after that by him dragging it, using his parachute to drag the alien across that white sand beach. And then you see all the RVs coming. It's just beautiful. It's cinematic. And I think that's probably everybody's favorite scene.
It's a hard scene to beat, for sure, from Independence Day.
And I haven't seen it in a while, but is that when they play that song, "We Are the Men in Black"? That is the same.
No, very good track. Just they play that over the credits as just a preview of things to come.
Is that before or after his dog goes into the abandoned building and there's like creatures in there and he's not sure if he should go in the building to get the dog or not? Is that before or after?
No, you're thinking of I Am Legend. I'm liking though that we're all busting out all of the Will Smith movies.
Wasn't Will Smith in this? There was a lot of names to keep track of.
All right. Some final questions. We don't have many here, but what was your favorite death scene? And why was it not the flip?
It's just the flip. I mean, what else?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, is there one that's not the flip that's someone's favorite?
I think actually my favorite is when cheating assistant gets candle staff in the chest and dies. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't get me wrong, that hurt like hell.
It's blunt as hell, that thing. It's built for taking out candles. It's not built to like stab somebody.
Right. I mean, that guy was soft to have that kill him.
He was. Wow. Very doughy. Very doughy.
Need to hit the bricks, buddy. You got to work out.
Right.
Build up. He's a lover, not a fighter.
Very true. Very true. Now, these movies, obviously, a lot of the martial art movies from the Shaw Brothers, you know, known for a lot of good fight scenes. What was the best fight scene to you guys?
The flip fight scene.
There's one good scene. There is a scene before, though, for me, where he fights like a bunch of dudes and he just takes them all at once and like beats them up. And then he's like, I thought that scene was,
There's a lot of good stuff with staffs. Where they're kind of like lifting him up and moving around and like, you know, not accomplishing anything. But there's some impressive stunt work. I don't mean to diminish that.
Yeah, sure. There's some fun stuff. What is the water margin? What is it? Is the margin of water just a little bit we see in the beginning of the movie and then never see it again. What is the water margin?
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, maybe that is. I didn't do any research on that, Ryan. I wasn't prepared for that question. In our pre-interview, you didn't bring that one up, so yeah. I didn't get to.
Mark and I have to do an extensive pre-interview before every.
That's it.
Every time we record.
Ryan's leaning on Mark to crunch, or Mark is leaning. Fuck, you know, I get a point. I don't even know who anybody is anymore. I'm assigning myself a point. That's one blow.
One for you.
Okay, it's one blow.
Yeah, watch it. Was Red Hair Devil called that because of his ferocious fighting style or their dislike of gingers?
The latter.
Latter.
That's a cruel nickname.
That is mean. All right, let's get into some research. I don't have anything else. As I mentioned, Corman bought this. It comes out in China in 1972 as a water margin. Corman buys it, edits it, comes out in 1973. It played a lot with I Escaped from Devil's Island, which is a movie that Corman produced, but New World did not release, but he produced it. And it plays in drive-in circuits for years. That is to say, Seven Blows of the Dragon. It plays with so many different movies for a long time. I think they got a huge amount of success out of it. Before I read a little bit from Corman about the movie, let's just quickly talk about some of the differences of water margin. We already mentioned some of them. We talked about the intros. We talked about a bunch of stuff. But what is interesting, just so Mark knows, and everyone else, structurally, not that different, especially the very beginning of the movie, like the first 20 minutes or so, there's definitely some stuff cut out, but essentially almost the same movie. It's very, very similar. I assumed, just because they were re-editing this for an American release, that they might move some scenes around, they might like mess around with the structure. They do not, which is kind of fascinating. What they do, though, is they do a Corman special, and they trim it down to just below 80 minutes so he can only put out 4 cans, so it's cheaper for them to send across the United States. What he cuts out the most is, like, the middle. In the middle, there's a section where the governor goes, they don't know what to do. They chat a lot about what to do with Master Lu. And then, like, one of the bandits comes over and visits him while he's in jail. And they're just like, I just really wanted to meet you. And they're like, awesome. And they, like, grab hands. And they're like, cool. And I'm like, yeah, this seems not necessary. We're good. I don't. Just like, cool. Well, take care in jail. We got plans. We'll be back.
In fact, he says, I can die happy now that I've met you.
Yeah, and now I'm that going, I met you.
Who is this person?
I don't have any faith that we're going to get you out yet again. I got all your albums, even like your early stuff. Really dig everything you do. Right before Young Dragon, like, jumps down from the tree and robs two of the bandit guys, he says a prayer, which makes a lot more sense of why, like, you, because he just jumps out of a tree and steals stuff. You're like, why? And he says a prayer. He's like, I feel terrible that I have to do it, but I have to save my master, because Master Lu gets hit with those sticks. And what Seven Blows of the Dragon does not emphasize is that that would wreck you. And he has to, like, carry him around and try to find a horse to put him on. And the Seven Blows of the Dragon's like, who cares? No one cares about somebody who's injured.
Nah.
Let's move on.
Keep it moving.
Got it. Keep it moving. Who cares? But and then he's like, okay, I feel terrible, but I have to steal. I have to make this mission. I got to help my master. I feel terrible. Please forgive me. But this one, he's just like, oh, eventually he's like, oh, hey, I was just trying to steal from you because I needed some money. Whatever. Like, anyway, good to see you guys. Like, that's weird. Oh, you made this way more awkward than it needed to be. But and then there's actually even some fights that are taken out. The end fight with Young Dragon, when he jumps in to fight Golden Spear, there's like a section of that where you don't see it. When he jumps up, he runs from the horses that he's been taking dutiful care of and leaps up into the air. And then he has his spear and Young Dragon catches it, like, under his arm. There's a whole section where he's fought Golden Spear, thrown him around on the ground, like, picked him up, tossed him. He's done a whole bunch of stuff, which I was like, the one thing I didn't think Corman would cut was the fights. Like, it's literally, he was like, talkie, talkie, get to the fights. But he was like, that 78 minutes is tough when you have a 2-hour movie. Yeah. Like, that's a lot to cut. It's a lot. And so I guess he was saying, we'll see you at the sequel. All men are brothers, not us. New World didn't release it, but nope. It was released. There was a sequel, but we don't get to see it. So let's end with a little bit of Roger Corman himself talking about this movie from the book The Movie World of Roger Corman, edited by Philip DeFranco. He said, Seven Blows of the Dragon was a Chinese picture originally called The Water Margin. See, he knew what it was called at some point in time. Made by Run Run Shaw in Hong Kong. As the kung fu craze started to hit, I simply bought the film from Run Run Shaw. One of the most significant things about that film was our poster. It was a beautiful poster, and the artist signed the original artwork. This is not usually done, but he was very proud of it. You know what's the best thing about a movie I released? The poster.
Mm-hmm.
The poster was incredible. Yeah. Incredible poster. And this is the poster, the one that's on the VHS tape. That is the poster he's talking about. And that is it for Seven Blows of the Dragon. We made it.
Wow.
We made it through the end of the episode. Nobody had to be removed. Incredible stuff.
Wow.
Dirk, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Dirk. Thank you, and sorry, and thank you.
Happy trails.
And sorry.
Did you have any final thoughts on Seven Blows of the Dragon? Dirk?
No.
No. Love it.
This is the one Shaw Brothers movies we get to talk about on this podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's such a bummer. No, it's not you.
Every time we start talking about the movie again, I'm like, is Ryan releasing this? He seems to be a big fan of this movie.
I work so hard to try to make any sense of any of this. It was such work. And I still don't know if I got all of it right. I probably missed a lot of it. It was so difficult. Well, we do have Shogun Assassin. There's other things down the road, but unfortunately, this is it for Shaw Brothers. But we hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope you enjoyed Foreign Film February too, because we are done. If you want to listen to all of our episodes from this month and the previous Foreign Film February, or all of our months and years of this podcast, go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. That's where all of our episodes, articles, t-shirts. Buy a t-shirt. We've got some brand new designs. We just put up a brand new design. Go check it out. Buy a t-shirt. It helps support the show. Give us a 5-star review if you dare. We dare you to do it. Buy a t-shirt. Give us a review. If you have the wild, mad energy of Black Whirlwind, please give us a 5-star review. Angrily do it, but in a positive way with good intent. And we will see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, a part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.